Michael Hart Show on 101.1 FM, The Source.
Hey, welcome back. We're having a conversation with Daniel Petoskey. He is the author of Universal Coverage. Of course, we are talking about health care. What else besides terrorist bombings could we possibly be discussing today? Daniel, I'm a little bit confused, just generally speaking, and I ask this question. Obviously, you understand that you're not the first person we've spoken to about this type of an issue, and I don't get an answer that I can live with from anyone, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I have yet to find anyone in my personal life that's going to benefit from anything close to what this government is trying to put forward. What do you think is the real motivation behind universal health care, universal coverage, or at least the attempt at it?
Well, Michael, I was challenged by my wife. We were driving in the car just yesterday, and she said, you know, one of the problems we have in our country right now is we don't talk about facts, about truth. And I guess I'd be lying to you if I told you anything other than that. And I think the end game of this universal coverage is a consolidation of federal power and a consolidation of power in the hands of select politicians. And my evidence for that, you say, okay, Dan, well, that's a very dramatic statement there. However, my evidence for that is just look at the bill. They're handing out favors to the tunes of hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, to individual states, to individual political groups. And that is effectively buying votes. I don't know what else to call it, Michael, but to me, that is an evidence of a crime. We are paying for votes through a very sophisticated mechanism called Senate Bill XYZ.
Right.
And to me, this is the way I see it. I look at history, and I see that politicians promise the world, and whether it's delivered or not is irrelevant because, you know, we all sort of forget, well, what exactly were we supposed to get, and I'm not sure, and then down the road, we modify and continue to massage the numbers to show, well, look, we really did give it to you. Just like they're massaging the job numbers. I mean, these job numbers are completely bogus. Are they going to start to massage the numbers for breast cancer survival rates 10 years from now when this system blows up? So when you ask me what do I think the result, you know, the goal of this is, the goal of it is pursuit of political power. And once they consolidate that power into groups like ACORN, the Longshoremen's Union gets a special dispensation out of this. Why? Why are they special? Why is the state of Nebraska? When I read the Declaration of Independence and I read the Constitution, all men are created equal unless you're a longshoreman or from Nebraska. Then you're different. Well, I take great offense to that, and I get extremely angry because I can still read the Declaration of Independence and I can still read the Constitution. They haven't erased it yet. And if we're all created equal, then they should not get a special dispensation. The reason that I see for it is to deliver political power into the hands of a few. And I equate these people to royalty. We are being told, as citizens of the United States, exactly what this royalty in France said. Well, let them eat cake. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not satisfied with their idea of health care, okay? I'm an independent-minded, thinking American, and I will be able to find my own health care solutions and ways to pay for it. I don't want the government taxing me, and then I have to pay for it again, or telling me, well, you can't see that doctor until next week because the system's overloaded, the MRI machine is booked solid. You know, these are ridiculous things to me in terms of American history. It's ridiculous to imagine the government controlling this much of our life. So, I mean, that's a little bit long-winded for your answer. But
No. I mean, I appreciate it because I agree with it, number one, and I'm fascinated by, you know, the terminology, but even more than that, I'm fascinated by either the misunderstanding or the reluctance of the average person to really become infuriated as to what's taking place here. Daniel, you know, before I brought you on, well over an hour ago, we were talking about this hijacker and the war on terror. And here in Alabama, we're a very, despite some of the reports that the people have heard the last 100 years, we're a very educated population, and we're also very heavily armed, and I'm proud of both those points. And the thing about it for me, though, is that there seems to be amongst my listeners and people in this state an utter disgust by a lot of my own, again, listeners – of people's unwillingness or inability to really get infuriated about the situation, almost as though they're putting their heads in the sand. We had a congressman, Parker Griffith, who you might have heard of here recently, defected from the Democrats, from the liberal side of the fence to the GOP just this past week in an ongoing election that's coming up, you know. And this particular congressman is trying to do everything in his power to get himself reelected. And, you know, the simple reality of it is that you have a situation where, you know, the move is more likely an attempt to increase the likelihood of his reelection, not from a snowball's chance in hell, but all the way up to No Way Jose. I mean, the guy is not going to get reelected. On top of that, we have 14 other congressmen and senators that have come along and declared that they're not going to be up for reelection or that they are going to retire early. All of this seems to be a backlash or a simple statement by these people that this bill is so bad, but yet we voted for it, but this bill is so bad that we know, politically speaking, we're done. Is it at all possible, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but is it at all possible to explain to me, my listeners, or any clear-thinking person, why these people will be committing political suicide all for the purposes of pushing this bill forward?
The only thing I can equate it to is if you looked at diehard communists in the Soviet Union, they would work with Lenin, they worked with Stalin, and they were such deep believers in the system that they fall on their own sword for the system because they believe they're doing something for the cause.
But Daniel, back in those days when you did that, your family was set for life, or if I just hit on something.
Well, I think you might have hit on something. I don't have any evidence. I don't have any evidence to speak of that, but I'm sure that if Harry Reid loses, if Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania loses re-election, I'm sure they will find a cushy post for him, just like Tom Daschle. Tom Daschle landed on his feet, didn't
he? Right, yeah.
Okay?
Point taken.
They find these consultancies, they find this other payday for themselves. And again, I don't have the specifics on every politician that's retiring. Some of them may just be burned out and they can't handle it anymore. That may be the case.
And I'm sure to a degree it is.
Yeah, but as far as I'm concerned, they're such diehard believers. See, I like evidence. You know, if you go to court, the judge says, let's see the evidence. Follow the evidence trail, because the evidence trail is irrefutable. It's facts. It's like CSI. If the fingerprints match, the fingerprints match. And I find it hard to take what you said earlier, how the citizens of your state can't understand why more people aren't furious. Well, I'm furious. I was so furious, I wrote a book. I used to write books about totally different subjects. And I said to myself, Dan, you have to step up to the plate. You have to apply your skills to this political issue, and all you know how to do is write. So write a book, as you said. Storytelling helps inspire people. It helps teach them. It helps them live their lives better. So use that skill set to deliver a message about, hey, what's going on here? I mean, look at the Bible. The Bible is great stories, and what do those stories teach us? Morality. They teach us how to live our lives better. And it's a very effective way. So that's what I did. And I am still furious, though, because I love my country. I'm very worried about what's going on here. And we all have to do whatever it is that we're good at, but apply it to making the nation strong, as opposed to making it a nation of dependent weaklings who can be taken by anybody with a slick, you know, that's the other problem. They can have a slick story, and then if you're weak-minded, you fall for it.
Right. Right. Daniel, real quick, my producer, Steve, has a question.
We had a caller call up and started talking about the origins of this country. And for, you know, obviously this is kind of oversimplifying it, but to a certain extent, the revolution was started because of things like the stamp tax, which was about 5% overall. But some people, and especially if we end up getting this health care, we're going to be talking about a tax rate of, you know, possibly 60% or more. Where's the backlash going to come, or is it going to come, or are we just going to sit here and accept it and go, okay, that's just the way it is?
I'm afraid to answer that question. And when I think about the Boston Tea Party over a few percent, and I look at what all of us pay today, I'm afraid that they boiled the frog one degree at a time. But at the same time, if you look at states like Texas, look at your own state, I spoke at a bunch of 9-12 meetings. There is a backlash building. There's a lot of pressure at the diners. You go to the local diner and you listen to what people are talking about. If you go to a truck stop, if you go to different places like that and listen, I think one of the things that's missing from that backlash is leadership. We need strong leadership. We don't need people that are willy-nilly or compromisers or, well, we'll see how this works out, then maybe we have to adjust it. No, we need to stop it. We need to stop it right now and go back and read what the Constitution says and think very deeply how that applies to any message, any law that we're thinking about passing, be it health care, be it cap and trade, all of these things. We have to use that Constitution as a screen. And there are people waking up to that.
Are we too early in the process right now, or is this process so far gone that we can't come back from it?
I don't have a great answer for that. I thought it was going to be stopped. The vote right after Thanksgiving, I thought it would stop there, but Olympia Snow fell down on the job there. And her vote is what made this possible. So I'm afraid that once it gets into conference, their compromise is going to come quick because they know that speed kills. They know that they push this through fast. Nancy Pelosi sits down with Harry Reid. They hammer something out. They get just enough votes. You know, literally one vote is all they need to make it through. I don't know if we can stop this. I wish I was more hopeful, but I just